Well, brethren, we already opened with prayer at the beginning of the devotional, so we're going to introduce Brother Paul Mesra. He's going to speak to us on the topic of the chronology of the divine plan, and then this service will end at 10:15. The chronology of the divine plan. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother Peter. Up until about a week ago, we were planning on giving a talk on Revelation 10, but some of the brethren asked me if I could give kind of a summary of how come I believe the traditional chronology is a lot more correct than the what we call new chronology. And I said to them that it's a little bit of a rough topic for only 45 minutes. But going to do is give a summary and try to give enough information to show that we need to have a much larger discussion because there's a lot more to this than what we can actually cover in this amount of time. But there's some things that I thought were correct on Brother David's chronology, but I didn't agree with how he added up some of the time areas, and so that'll be one of the things that we'll discuss a little bit, just enough to show that there could be another opinion on it. There's two triple parallels in our chronology that we can show that are, we think, more impressive than some of the double parallels which he showed on the first night of his presentation. And actually, they were the same parallels that we have in our book. But we have, in one of the places, we have the capability of showing a triple parallel where he doesn't, because they've cut time out of the kings of the Old Testament, and the 390 years goes back to the division of the kingdom, and I think he removes 4 years after that, or actually more time than that out of there. So that's why it wouldn't work in his, but it does in ours. We agree with him that there's a problem with the B.C. to A.D. correction, and that's what's causing the problem with the 606 to 1914. That's actually not 2,520 years if you figure it out to the exact decimal point. It actually has to be October 607, and then that comes out to October 1914. And we hope to have plenty of time today to show that that actually is the exact date. There's a history book, actually, that's in the Oriental Institute here in Chicago that we're going to quote out of, and it gives that exact date, September and October, which is exactly where we have to be. This is a little bit of a controversial subject, one of the reasons why we hesitated, because we believe that there is a problem in the time of Babylon, and it's 19 years, but we think there's an additional correction in that just prior to the time of the book of Judges, and we'll show that as we go through, and it's marked off by the 300 years of Jephthah. So 19 minus 19 equals zero, and so all of the chronology for the harvest time on this end of the age stays exactly the same. There's no change. And so, again, we're not going to have time to give the entire details on that, but we'll show that there could be another viewpoint to this. These chronology patterns that we showed in a previous talk, we think, are one of the biggest arguments and most obvious that proves, as far as I'm concerned, you cannot change the addition of the 7,000 years. I know some brethren have tried to change these, and they were not able to do it. This pattern goes through a total of 7,000 years. There's seven dates on it. And I don't know if there's some here may not have seen this, but these are all 1,845-year circles. And the second volume is these two right here, from the death of Jacob to the death of Christ to the 1878 date on this end of the age. And so as far as I'm concerned, that locks to the 1,845-year parallels. And these are orientated and revolve. They're symmetrical about the midst of the years, which we believe is 627 B.C. There's a lot more we could go into, but we don't have time today. In the other talk, we showed how you can shade in these circles and show cherubim, wheels within wheels, the hands, form of a man's hand, the eyes and the rims of the wheels. And so it's pretty positive proof. But if that one isn't enough, then we have the 2500 and 1260 pattern, which again confirms the chronology as we know it. This is the 2520, goes from 607 to 1914, and the 539 to 1799, part of that pattern. Again, challenge anybody that there's seven dates listed down, or 10 dates in this pattern, excuse me. And I give anybody the challenge, if they can change your chronology and keep those dates intersecting those lines, I'd like to see it. One thing, the correction that we make in the two places that cancel each other out, actually make an improvement, and the 722 date here is actually right here. Prior to that change, was missing by 20 years, and at the time that was happening, I thought, boy, that's strange, because this chronology pattern deals with who has the right to rule, civil power. And here the 10 tribes are taken away. Why didn't that intersect? Well, after we corrected that, those two corrections, actually three counting that BCAD, it shifted 20 years, and right on the line it is, right to the dot. This was a reprint that was sent to Pastor, but he passed away before it was published. I don't have the reprint number on this particular slide. I was copying this stuff out of my book, and I didn't have time to do everything, but there's seven dates around this. If you use a 25-inch cubit, it's 7,000 years from here all the way around back to this gatepost. So you have the end of Adam's day. This is one change here, because the way we're adding up judges to get 450 years, it turns out to be Jephthah rather than Jer, midst of the years. Birth of Christ, the return of the Lord, and restoration of all mankind. Now, if we represent that as wheel circles again, we have 50 times 50 or 2,500-year circles, Jubilee pattern again. And so it shows from the fall of mankind to 2874, everything will be restored. So as far as I'm concerned, that blocks it, but of course there's arguments the other way, so we're going to have to talk about some of that. Now, if anyone is interested in these patterns and how even the Revelation one, you can see the living creatures in Revelation shaded into the lines, and it all matches exactly what's said. And the Jubilee pattern matches Isaiah 6 in chapter 6, and the seraphim that are seen there. So there's a video that was taken when we gave a two-hour presentation on this here, and if anyone's interested, I can make a copy of that and send it to them. Now, this is the period of Judges, and my son Jeff and I worked on this at the time. We kept running into the problem. We couldn't get it to come out right. And then we had the idea, let's check the 300 years of Jephthah to see what happens. And so we figured backwards from the first year of the servitude to Ammon. That's when they first attacked. And it marked off a 19-year period. And then we happened to notice that Josephus even said that there was, he did it a little bit differently, but amounted to the same, that there was the six years dividing of the land and the 19 years for Josh and the elders to die out turned out to be 25 years, 6 from 25 equals 19. So that was a second confirmation that 19 years is actually there. So the interesting thing that happens then is that all of these judges, you just read them just exactly the way they're presented in Judges all the way down here, get exactly 450 years. We're not going to take the time to add that up, but that's one of your handout sheets, the first one. And so if you want to confirm that later on, you can. So what we found was the problem with why you couldn't add up Judges was that there was 469 years in that time period, not 450, and that's why we were having a hard time getting it to work. But now, all of a sudden, everything just adds up one right after the other. No ands, ifs, and buts about it. But, of course, to do that, we have to explain the 1 Kings 6:1 scripture. That's the harder one. But we think we can show that there's another way to look at it. In the Companion Bible, it talks about these low army periods. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct, but it's taken from Hosea 1:8 and 2:1. And those are times that Israel was not in control of their land, especially when they were being punished. And if you take those into consideration and subtract them out of the total, up here, this one is 1 year on the east, and that's actually the last year of the 40 years, because they were conquering on the east and starting at the 39th year. And by the time they got to the end of the 40th year, they were done, and then they crossed over, and there were 6 more years on the other side. So if you take that 7 and add all these up, you get 118. And if you subtract 118 from 598, which is the total of years, at least is how we counted them, guess what? You get to 480 years. So that seems to confirm that what they're saying about those Loami periods are correct. Now, at this point in time, you could still doubt that. At the time we found that worked, we already had something that was rather interesting, and it actually has 118.5 year offset, which I think is the exact number. On this side, you have 539 to 1799, 1829, and 1874. The only change from the second volume is that from 539 A.D. back up here to 722 B.C., is actually 1,260 years only if you make that correction. If you don't, it's 20 years off, as I saw in that pattern originally. And also with that correction from 722 to 1799 is 2,520 years in. So those are some evidence showing that maybe those two tweaks are necessary. To confirm that that pattern is probably correct, there's some things that we discovered. From 1799, you add 118.5. You come to the 1918 date, which is when the Ottoman Empire collapsed in about the time that the Balfour Declaration was brought out. So this would have something to do with the restoration of Israel. And what them Loami periods are saying is Israel's chronology is actually running that 118.5 behind the churches. There was an overlap because of that. And you're going to see that number comes up in a lot of places, actually more than what we're going to show you here today. If we take the 1290 to the 1829 and add to that, we get 1948, which is a rather interesting number, the restoration of Israel. If we take the 1335, we got 1874, and we add to that, we get 1993, which is actually down here on this. I forgot to show you on this here how this works. It starts in 603 B.C., which is the time Nebuchadnezzar had finished capturing the entire land of Palestine, including Israel, at 603 B.C., and then 1,260 years later is when the Muslims got total domination over the Palestine. Well, 1,260 years after that is when they lost it, 1918. Great Britain came in and took control over it. And then 1290, this is actually 1949, which is 1 year later, but that's the year the UN recognized Israel, and the Arab armies finally packed up and pulled out and went back to their countries. And in 1993 is when they made the Oslo Accords, which they're breaking right at the moment. So it's not certain that that part will stand. But they signed a paper at that time stating that Israel had the right to exist as a nation. And so I think that's what was important. There's actually a 7-year period on this end and a 7-year period on this end and a 7-year period up here. So here we have where Assyria conquered by Babylon, the 607 date, and then, of course, the 603 date. It was a 7-year period there and another 7-year period Now, all of these places actually have seven-year periods. We don't have time to go through them all. So back to this one. There is one more. This is a speculative one, and I don't really encourage speculation. So prior to the section where I show this in my book, I've got a pretty strong worded page there stating that, you know, we don't advocate saying that anything that's in the future is anything in particular. It might not be anything there. Time will tell. The only thing encouraging about it is there's actually 118 of this 118.5 generates seven dates, and four of those dates are already fulfilled. So that makes it rather interesting. The other three are down here. Well, this one is a little bit more busy, so it's going to be hard to see. But the 722 date where the 10 tribes were taken away, if you go 118.5 years, you've come to the 603 B.C. date where Nebuchadnezzar had finished capturing all of Palestine, including Israel. So here the 10 tribes are gone, and here Israel was captive. Now down here on the bottom, there's our 455 to 1846 date for the 2300. We added one here for the time that Rome come into power. Well, 2300 years later is 1914. I believe this is one that we got from Brother Carl, if I remember correctly. There was a trouble or a problem with the ratio that kept making me want to look for something in about 453 B.C., and I finally think I figured out what it was. On 455, there was a major battle between Greece and Persia. And Greece was actually winning to begin with, but eventually Persia overcame them in 453, and they wiped out their fleet of ships, so that kind of ended Greece's attempts to conquer for quite some time. So if you follow this dotted line all the way up here and then go over 118.5 years, there's Alexander the Great, and he's coming and he conquers Persians 2300 years later, 1967. So this kind of all fits together. And if we follow this line over to the 1848 date, the interesting thing that happened there is when the Seventh-day Adventists more or less split away and they formed their own church and went back to a lot of the nominal system doctrines. And again, if you follow this line all the way to the top, 118.5 years later, 1967. So all this stuff just keeps coming up with dates dealing with the nation of Israel, which seems to prove that the Loami periods are correct. These are the two dates here. One of them comes off of the 1914, and the other one comes off the 1918 date. And those are the speculative dates that may or may not be. The only thing I see wrong with them is that there's not a, that makes the kingdom too far away. I prefer it would come tomorrow myself. And Sister Dixie Hamilton said the same thing. But time will tell. Who knows? The other problem area is the period of kings. And in our book, we outline the period of judges with tables like you see here, put all the scriptures in, and we did the same thing for the period of kings. Now, the arguments that are made for removing time come from a fellow named Edwin Thiel, and he's followed by a lot of the archaeologists and by a lot of Christian ministers, but not everybody agrees with what he says. And the timeline that I have in my book, and we can't put the whole thing up because we don't have time here, but Judah stays exactly the same way that the second volume has it. There's no change in it. This is one of the areas, I picked this area because this is one of the areas where they use the argument to take time out. This king here is Uzziah, and he reigned 52 years. And it was a long time. It goes all the way, and it goes actually onto the next page, which is in your handout, but we won't show that today. And the problem is, there's a scripture that don't agree with him, his reign starting here, and that's down here. The 2 Kings 15:1-2, it says, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, he began to reign. Well, that's right there. So now we got a conflict. Now, how do we explain that? And there's also the same kind of a conflict over here with Zechariah. I think this is not an E here. This should actually be an A. I have to go look that up. I got wondering about that. And there's 12 years here, and they slide the chronology this way. And one of them is only 11. Maybe they have 12. I'm not sure. I'd have to go look at how they're doing it. But they take that chunk of time out, saying it was overlapping the other kings, and that's why they can remove it. We don't agree with that, because then we're in conflict with this 52-year scripture up here. Because Uzziah reigned all of this time, and there's links from all of these other kings that tells you exactly what years they started reigning. So you can't change that as far as I'm concerned. It's locked in by all the statements. So then we have to come up with a different explanation. I think the simple answer is that this is not where he started reigning, but this is where he actually, I think he was 5 years old here at this point. Well, he was too young to assume the throne, and in both the king's cases, it appears that the same thing happened, and at the age of 16, that's when he began to reign. Right here, he would have been 16 years old. So the 52 years is actually still there as far as I'm concerned. That's the other answer to it. This one is the Zechariah one, and it says he only reigned a half a year, which is right here where this kind of checkerboard, light checkerboard thing is at. So you would be subtracting 12 years out if you were going to slide this over. But same solution. He would have been, I think, 4 years old here. So he winds up down here being old enough to reign, and he becomes king. But this was still counted as far as time is concerned. It shouldn't be subtracted out. And the reason why not, again, is because of the 52 years up here is there. If you just can't take it out. Another thing about Zechariah was the scripture in 2 Kings 15:11-12, and it says it was fulfilled. Everything else that Zechariah did is recorded in the history of the kings of Israel. So the promise was fulfilled, which the Lord had made to King Jehu. Your descendants down to the fourth generation will be kings of Israel. So the argument is this: one or the other, or both, had to be sitting on a throne during that time to satisfy God's promise. right through here. The other thing about this king was it said he'd done many evil things. Well, that would be pretty hard to get that bad of a reputation in 6 months. So he had to have been involved in helping reign the kingdom through here in order to accomplish the bad reputation. The other thing is, on the entire timeline that we have through Kings, we only have one 3.5-year co-reign, and that one is supported by the fact that the king that was involved in that one fell down through the lattice work, and Elijah went to him and told him he was going to die because he had consulted a foreign god. And so there's actually two reigns given for the king that replaced him after he died, and the one had to do with the point in time that he fell, which was probably about a year into a 4.5-year reign there. And then there's two other ones we have where the king was sick unto death, and that would make sense. It took him a couple years to die. And there's another one, minor one of 2 years, that actually has a different number in the Septuagint. And that solves that. So the new chronology has a lot of co-reigns, even as long as 24 years, just to try to crunch this down and make it agree with the so-called Assyrian's kings list, which has some problems, as we will see when we're going to get to that. So one of the problem things is this Edwin Thiel has this book called The Mysterious Numbers of the Hebrew Kings, and he seems to try to force the Bible to agree with the Assyrian kings list rather than trying to find a reason why the Bible is correct and the Assyrian kings list is not. There's a book by Dr. Floyd Nolan Jones called A Chronology of the Old Testament, and he says that the Assyrian king's list that David refers to is not reliable, and it was constructed out of many incomplete fragments. He also does not agree with Edwin R. Thiel at all, complaining that he follows archaeology ideas and not the scriptures. And he chastises the Christian ministers that follow that line of thinking and their teaching of it to their church members. He said that we should not doubt the Bible, but the Bible is what we should be following. This is another one that's on the internet, and printed out a partial quote from it. And it's pretty much, the whole thing is there, and he goes through all of the different time periods that Thiel changes. I think David actually changes one other one that Thiel doesn't even change. So if anyone's interested, on that handout is the website for that. The other problem that's mentioned by that Dr. Jones is that they linked that King's List to an eclipse that occurred in 763. But there was an earlier fellow named Jukes Opart who had synced it to an 809, and some other ones that picked the 791 eclipse. Well, we experimented with that, and if we go to the 809 eclipse, it then makes our chronology come out exactly what the second volume chronology has. And so that's the one that we believe is correct, and that's where there's a problem there. Doing that fixes 46 of the 50 years that the alternate chronology took out. And so the other part was Jehoshaphat, and David in his talk about this even admitted he had no evidence in the scriptures to remove that 4 years outside of the fact that he needed to harmonize his list. I think, I don't want to misquote him, but I think he needed that 4 years to link up with his Assyrian king's list. Well, my thought is the Assyrian king's list is a construction from archaeologists that don't belong to the Bible or don't believe in the Bible, and so that's where some of our problem is coming in. So we're saying we need a bigger discussion on this. There's a lot more evidence than what I'm going to show you today, but we're hoping to make a good case that maybe there is another way to look at this. The other problem area where there is a problem is in this 70 years in the time of Babylon. There's actually two 70-year periods named in the Bible, and they don't jibe with each other, and we think that's what's causing a lot of the confusion. And we'll show you that after we look at these scriptures. It says, this whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Notice it says these nations, so it's not just talking about Israel. Then it will be completed, that will be 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon, and that nation, declares the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it an everlasting desolation. And that's exactly what happened. 70 years later, after Babylon had defeated Assyria, exactly, down it went. Jeremiah 29:10 is the same thing. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon 7 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill you to my promise and bring you back to this place, which also did happen. But the problem is that particular 70 years started earlier with all the nations, and it was, I think, 18 or 22 years. We'll have to look at the mount when we get to the diagram I drew. But here is another scripture that I think is actually 70 years that we probably should be looking at, and it overlaps the first one by 22 years. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which was in the month of Shebat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, as follows. Then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, with which you have been indignant these 70 years? So right there we got a problem, because saying the 70 years is up, or asking how much longer, and it's in the second year of Darius, which is about 19 years later, I believe, from where they had went back originally. In the fourth year of King Darius, the same thing, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, which is in Chislev, Say to all the people of the land and to the priest, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? So we think what's going on here is the first 70 years is counted from the time the siege of the city began, and the second one is from the time the siege of the city went down, and the temple was actually rebuilt to a usable state. On this one here, they had just started rebuilding it. So if you diagram that all out, this is what you actually get. From the time Babylon took Assyria until the time they fell was exactly 70 years. And in the chronology for the carrying away of Judah actually would then change to 587. And 70 years later is when they're saying that the temple was actually back to the point where they could use it. They actually started rebuilding it in 519, and they completed it at least to the completed state in 514 B.C. So interesting thing here is the death of Josiah happened in that same year, and Egypt took control of Judah at that same time. So they had 22 years they went through here where they were actually captured and subject to Babylon. But it looks like that what we should be looking at is there are only 48 years to 539 where Babylon went down. The first year, Cyrus, who makes the proclamation, and that's the 50th year, a rather interesting number, that they get released and able to go back to their land. The only problem they had, they started rebuilding, and their enemies stopped them for 18 more years up to here. And they had to get the king to issue a decree stating that they could go back and rebuild, which he did. There's problems if we don't look at it that way, because if we say that there's 70 years here, 606 to 536, and then we go to another 22 years to where Zechariah is talking about that second 70 years, there's actually 92 years in there, not the 70 that Zechariah is saying. So the question becomes, why? Well, I think there's a problem with what we're looking at. Jeremiah has got the same difficulty. It would be 628, and these are the old chronology numbers. 22 years later in 606, we have them carried away, and then they're gone for 70 years. Jeremiah says that would be a 70-year period, but it would turn out to be 92 if those are the numbers we used. So why do we have that problem? Well, it's because there's actually 2 years there, and Barber is actually the one that caused that problem. Barber changed the chronology before he gave it to Pastor. Everyone else at the time had roughly something like this, not exactly, but within a year or two of that. And so this 70 goes to the time that they actually start to return, and this 70 goes to the time the temple is actually fully rebuilt. So there's kind of an overlapping of two time periods there. And that's not as good a covering of that time period I'd like to do today, but we don't have the time to go into it deeper. I've got some other diagrams that show it better and then actually, I think, prove that it's right, because there's a parallel between this time and the time up on this end of the age that matches up exactly. And it also matches during the time of the first advent. This is the book. It's in the Chicago Oriental Institute. It says both Nebuchadnezzar and the crown prince Nebuchadnezzar campaigned in the mountainous region. It says not identifiable from the text. In other words, they don't know what the name is. Nebuchadnezzar, however, returned to Babylon the next month, and I think it was because he was sick at the time. Whereas Nebuchadnezzar stayed on until sometime during the sixth month, 1st of August to 30th of August. A month or two later, September and October, and they had the name wrong in this book, but Nebuchadnezzar set out with his army for Kim-Yubu, a strategic city south of Carmishes, and was able to capture it near the end of 607, November to 26 December. So there's your number, 607, right there, showing that we're correct on that. Also leaving a garrison there before going home in early 606. The Egyptians laid siege to it and conquered it, recaptured it, and that was in 606 and 605, Nebuchadnezzar came back and you had the famous battle of Carmishish, and that's where he actually took control of Judah, which was about 2 years after the 607. So why is 607 correct? Well, it's because the land that Nebuchadnezzar was capturing here was actually the land of the 10 tribes. And Josephus said that he actually captured that land all the way down to the tribes of Judah. And it's not hard to imagine that he actually could have captured part of Judah, but not the city, because he evidently felt he didn't have enough army because he would have been fighting against the Egyptians. And that would make better sense after I thought about it, is because not only the two tribes have to come back on this end of the age, but so do the 10 tribes. And so that's why that date fits very well. Now, this particular area, I'm pretty much in agreement with David on, but the other areas of the Judges and Kings, I'm not. Is it a 49-year jubilee cycle that David is showing? If not, what are they? Well, we believe it's 50-year jubilee cycle because of what this pattern shows and also what we have in the second volume. There's a more complicated diagram in my book that shows how the jubilees actually are tied into all of the other chronology that we have. They tie into the 490 years, the 1845s, the 2520s. It's all linked together. It goes all the way from the time Adam fell here until mankind is restored back on this end of the age. I don't think I put this one into the handout, but again, I've got an electronic version of this. Anybody that's interested, there's 230 pages, I believe, in the second book right now, so there's a lot more in that book than what we can show and a lot more proof on this. This is something I showed a little bit of before. In the second volume, we have a 51 times 49-year cycle. It's not a jubilee cycle, though. And that adds up to 2499 and brings you to 1874. And I'm not going to go through all these calculations, but you have this is a speculative one here I'm looking for history on. But you also have the fall of Judah here, the start of the 70 weeks, the date the walls of the gates of the city are finished, start of the siege of the 10 tribes, and all the dates that are generated by those are 1874, 1878, 1914, September 1947, which, as I mentioned before, I thought was a problem, but it's not, because that's when they partitioned Palestine into Israel and Palestine. And that's why the Arabs started fighting immediately on that date. And 1967. And the 490 years is actually all related to that. This one is a little complicated, and I couldn't put the explanation for it, but besides being in Daniel 9:25, it has that 49-year cycle in it. There's actually 10 49s there. There's Leviticus chapter 26. It has four sets of seven times. And the interesting thing in the Hebrew, it doesn't say that there's just going to be a seven times of punishment and then another seven times of punishment. It actually means the second time here, seven times worse than the first time, seven times worse than the second time, and seven times worse than the third time. So what you can get is seven to the first power, seven to the second, seven to the third, and seven to the fourth, and those take those numbers and add them to key things. These are somewhat familiar here. 10 tribes destruction would actually go 2,520 to this, 7 times 360. This is the one we're familiar with. 7 times 360 equals 1914. Vision of Ezekiel's temple, 7 times 360 comes to 1948. And vision of the 2,300 mornings and evenings, add that date, you get 1967. Down here you have 7 times 7. That's 49-year cycles, so that's actually directly related to the 70 weeks and ties the 70 weeks into this. If you start at the end of 455
it comes to the end of the Jewish favor, 49 times 10. This date, beginning of the siege, 1874, this is a speculative date here. The land's settled by the Assyrians. That's the one I talked about before. Vision of the temples, 1878. Last possible jubilee by Judah, 1874. And the city being destroyed may have been completed, actually, in the second year. We're looking for evidence for that, but that would take you exactly to 1914. The 7 to the 3rd power, if you add it to the end of the 49 years in which the city, that's the first, you have the 70-week start 49 years later. There's that 49-year cycle. In the middle of that 49-year cycle, or approximately, it's when the city was completed and the walls and gates were closed up. And if you go from the end of that 49-year cycle and add that to it, you get 63 B.C., which is the date that the Romans conquered Jerusalem and took control of Israel. Down here, these are 455 to that September 1946 date. The date the walls and the gates are completed, 1967. Last but not least, if you change your chronology and cut time out, you better get a big saw because you're going to have to start sawing out galleries because the measurements aren't going to work in the pyramid. Strangely enough, when I put a picture in that I had in my book and put it on the laptop, something happened to the picture and it turned dark from here. I thought about leaving it in there and kind of joking about it, saying, well, that's what's going to happen to the chronology of the pyramid if you change it. It's going to black it out, and it would. So the way my book and even the second volume is, it all agrees with these passageways. No ands, ifs, and buts. So we actually have a little bit of time left, which is surprising. So we could do some questions if anybody wanted to ask questions. I can't guarantee I'll always know the answer, but we'll try to do our best. Oh, I think we're going to get a microphone first. Here it comes. Now, like I said, there's a lot more in my book and a lot more explanation. I only picked out what I thought I had time to show.
This is a little general, but I think in more than one place, Brother Paul, you mentioned regarding... I'm looking at the second page, which is page 109 on the handout, and in red under the date of 602.75.
Yeah, that's actually 603 B.C.
Okay. This is just a philosophical into chronological. If the image from Daniel of the four metals, the head of gold and on down.
Right.
It was always in my mind, and I think in other brethren's mind, that it was represented the full times of the Gentiles, the 2,520 years.
That's probably correct.
But if you're stating, though, that Nebuchadnezzar becomes the head of gold in 603, then how do you reconcile that 603 date with 606 as far as how the image is representing the full 2,520 years?
Okay, what you're looking at here, there's actually two aspects to that image. One aspect of it has to do with how it is against the church. And that's all through the 1200, 1290, and 1335, and it's worn down, and by 1914, the kings are separated from the papal system and even from the Protestant part. They're trying to get back together again, and of course we wait to see whether that occurs or not. The way things are going lately, it looks very likely. But on the other side, this is actually dealing with Israel on the right-hand side. That's the difference.
That's because of that 1 Kings 6:1, and the time subtracted out there makes their timeline run that much behind. And like I say, the proof that that's correct is all of these dates that are hit by reapplying this chronology then at that 118.5 years later. So like you see, Muslims took over, literally over in the 658, about the middle of that right-hand one. Down here on the end, they lost it again in 1918. Israel's back in 1948. And in 1993, they signed that Oslo Accord. All of those things are for against Israel. Does that answer the question? So that's all part of that image because those two legs on the, you know, the image that Daniel saw, and I think one leg has to do with the Western papal system, and the other leg has to do with the Muslim system that came, I don't know how many years exactly later, well, 118.5 actually. that's that overlap.
What I gather then, you're seeing two aspects
right
to the image.
Yeah.
Throughout, from the head right down to the toes,
yeah.
two aspects. And you would, again, describe those two aspects as the part dealing with Israel and the part
dealing with the church and what happened during the Dark Ages.
Okay.
And actually, in my book, there's a diagram that I have that shows all these dates that happened to the church on this end of the age and how that was being weakened and worn down so the church could have the harvest time. Well, the same thing appears to be true with Israel. You know, you can cut that diagram out of the right side of the speculative dates, of course, shift it over underneath and lines up exactly, but it's applying all to Israel. Of the seven dates that are generated by that, four of them are already fulfilled, making it seem kind of likely, but we'll have to wait. Got a few years to go if that's right. I'm hoping it's wrong in a way because want the kingdom to come quicker, you know.
Okay, just to clarify, Brother Paul, then the two aspects of the image begin at different times.
A little bit. Not a lot of difference, though. The one starts in 607 and the other is in 603. There's only 4 years difference.
Okay, and then so what does that do with the ending time and the significance? One ending time is 1914. Yes?
Actually, because it's actually not exactly right either. If you look at the left side, it goes all the way back to 722. So that's why that actually ends quicker. 118.5 years later, the one that applies to Israel literally starts in that 603 where Nebuchadnezzar's actually captured everything.
What are the two dates, the two ending dates that the two aspects of the image indicate, do you believe?
Well, on the left side, you have the 1874 to actually 1918. Mm-hmm. On this diagram, I don't actually have the full ending dates. In my book, there's another diagram on the next page that does, but that would be 2033 to 2036. That was them dates on that. The next page, there's one date there. It's the 2033. If you look down on the bottom, there's the 2036 down there, 7 year period there.
Okay.
But those are speculative dates, so again, I don't really encourage that, but we could wait and see what happens.
Sure. Thank you.
So that's the best I can do with that. It actually is two aspects, and they both apply. One's to the church, and the other one's for Israel, and the one for Israel has to end before the kingdom can come. That's not the date of the end of the church, though. The church can end any place along the way up to that time. You know, whenever the last member goes on the other side, it's done. But then when the date for Israel comes, it would start, if that's correct.
Just one more question. Do you believe the stone has struck the image? Do you believe the stone has struck the image?
Yes. I've got a kind of an unusual way of looking at it because if you go back to Daniel, it actually talks about it smote the image on the feet and shattered the toes of the iron and clay. I think that happened in 1799. And if you continue reading, though, then it says it smote the image, the entire image, and it broke up the gold, the bronze, or the, let's see, the gold, the silver, bronze, and iron. All those pieces are then shattered. That's 1914 to, and on, onward. It's grinding up those pieces now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. How much time we got, Peter?
You're out of time.
Okay, I guess the only thing I would say is this reason I decided to do this, like I say, it's not a lot of time to cover such a big topic, but I want it made known that there is another way of looking at this, and that the way the new chronology adds it up may not necessarily be correct. There are some things I liked about David's that I could actually use on mine that weren't related to how he added it up. Now, a strange thing is his end date is only 7 years different than that overlap. And there could be something on that, but I can't tell you on that yet because I haven't gotten all of his diagrams, and I need to diagram out what he said and see if there's, you know, perhaps that those seven times seven things are related to what's the same between them. There's actually a pattern of seven times goes all the way back to, possibly to Abraham, but I can't prove that for sure, but to Jacob. And if you follow that track all the way down, you hit interesting things on those seven-year intersections that happened to Israel. And the interesting thing about it is it goes all the way to 455, right on the dot, seven at the end of that seven. Well, because of 7 years, then it follows all the way through the 70 weeks, and I believe it ends there, pointing that Christ is a fulfillment of that. And he's what makes the Abrahamic promise capable of being fulfilled. So that's where our new covenant is going to come in for Israel when it's delivered to him. So I guess that's the best we can do for now, but I guess I would plead for some more time sometime to explain this more fully, because like I said, this is a 230-page book. And the period of Kings really needs to be gone through every one of the places where they take time out and show that there is another way to look at it, that you don't have to subtract that time. Because I've got it in mind, and I didn't think I had that much trouble doing it. So, Peter, I'll turn it over to you then.